Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chaf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, 8 lines from the from the wide lines. We learned in the Mishnah that Achrayim V'Toycha Beis Tzvita B'Truma, that these various parts of the Keli, which the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem will be explaining, are considered separate areas regarding Truma, Avaloi B'Kodesh, but not when we speak about Kodesh. So ask the Gemara, Mai, what is the definition of a chrayim v'toich? What is the definition? Says the Gemara Kretanan, as the Mishnah, says the Gemara, taught us in Masech the Kelim. Keli, shenetma achayr b'mashkin, if the back of a keli became tamei with mashkin. That means mashkin, beverages, liquids which are tamei, touch the keli. Midaraisa, food or mashka, drink, do not have the ability to be matama keli, because a keli midaraisa could only be makabel tuma. A keli midaraisa could only be makabel tuma from an av hatuma, and an oichel and a mashka are not typically an av hatuma, and therefore the halacha is the only example where a mashka could be an av hatuma are the liquids that emanate from the body of a zov, because they are an avatoma. So Chazal were concerned that somebody may come to have a keli that came in contact with the liquid that emanates from the body of a zov, and therefore they said that all mashkin are matama kelim. All mashkin tameim, obviously, are matama kelim. However, since this tuma, as we just explained, under most circumstances, is not a tamei midaraisa, it's only tumah v'drabanan, we don't burn truma v'kachin, because there's a very interesting phenomena. On one hand, we have to be machmer when we speak about truma and kachin, as we've been learning in our shurim, the Chazal were concerned for tuma more by truma v'kachin than they were by other foods. On the other hand, Chazal realized that if we're going to say something is tamei by truma v'kachim, the repercussions could be serious, because if it's not tamei, or even if it's not tamei midaraisa, we're not allowed to burn, we're not allowed to waste truma v'kachim. And therefore, to make a distinction between kalim that became tamei with mashkim shazov, which is a tuma midaraisa, versus kalim that became tamei only with a tuma drabonon, so Chazal made up that if a tumah drabanan touches the back of a keli, it doesn't affect the inside of the keli. Even though normally, if it's not klicheres, if the back of a keli becomes tamei, the entire keli becomes tamei. So again, says the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masech the Kelim, keli shenit machar b'mashka, if the back of the keli became tamei with a tumah drabanan, achurav tameim, the back is tamei, Taichai, even though by right the inside should be tamei, the taichai is not tamei. Similarly, v'oignoi, the rim of the keli, v'oznoi, the handle of the keli, v'yodov. And the way the Rishonim explained the difference between the oznoi and the yodov, both are the handle of a keli. The difference between the back, the two types of handles, is sometimes you'll have a handle which is like roundish, and sometimes you'll have a handle which juts out. They're both considered handles of a keli, but they're different types of handles, tahirim. But nitma taichai, but if the tumah drabanan touched the inside of the keli, and even though it's a tumah drabanan, kulei tamei. And that's what our Mishnah is teaching us, that this distinction that we just explained, that there's a difference by tumah drabanan, that only the back gets tamei. If the back gets tamei, it doesn't affect the other parts of the kelim. That's only if it's the back that got tamei. But if the inside got tamei, then Chazal said that it should be considered tamei, all parts of it. Why? Because they explain the Rishonim, the Tveres Yisrael explains this. He says a beautiful explanation. He says, in Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, we find that the Torah was stricter with the inside of the keli than it is with the outside of the keli. Where do we see that? He explains, we see that by kli cheres, because the halacha is that kli cheres can become tamei from the inside of the keli, but they don't become tamei from the outside of the keli. So we see that when it comes to halachas tumah v'tahara, the inside is stricter than the outside. And therefore, if tumah, albeit tumah d'rabbanan, is in the inside of the keli, it affects even the outside of the keli. But when it's a tumah d'rabbanan that only touched the outside, since, as we just explained, the outside is not as the halacha doesn't treat the outside as strictly as a touch treats the inside, because we learned that from the kli cheres. That's why, in order to differentiate between the kli tumah d'raisa and tumah d'rabbanan, Chazal said that if the outside is tumah, it doesn't affect the inside. But our Mishnah teaches us that halacha only applies by chulin and by truma. But by kaidish, the halacha is that leniency doesn't apply. And even if the outside of a kli kaidish became tameh with a tumah d'rabbanan, it affects all parts of the keli. So the Mishnah spoke about the chrayim, the toich, ubeis atzvita. Ask the Gemara, my beis atzvita. Exactly what is the beis atzvita? Amar Rav Yudah Mishmul, makom she'oda she'tzoiftoi. A place where they used to have, the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, they used to like make a hole in the vessel, and somebody could stick his finger into that hole and pass it from one person to the other person. The Cain Wyman says, the Pasuk, that when Boaz passed the food to Rus, the Pasuk uses the word v'yitzpukli lakali. Rav Asi Yomar, Rav Yochanan, makam shenia kiyas adas tzoivim. So the way I understand this, this way I understand Rashi means, is they used to, much of the eating that they had was dips. They used to have dips, various types of dips on the table. And the people who were istinous, people who were more sensitive, were not comfortable eating from a dish that was being shared by everyone. So in the keli that they were using, they had a special receptacle in that keli where they would pour their own dishes, and like that, they would pour their own dishes, and like that, that's the dips, and eat separately. Tani Rabibi Kameid Rav Nachman. Kol HaKelim Ein Lam Chrayim V'Toich. By all kelim, the halach is that if any part of the keli becomes tummy by kodesh, even with a tumah d'rabbanan, it affects that the entire keli is tummy. Echa kachem migdash, whether it's kelim that are used in the migdash in Yerushalayim for kachem, vecha kachem gvul. So ask the Gemara immediately, Amalei. So Rav Nachman asked Rabibi, kachem gvul, my ninu, what is the definition of kachem gvul? He says l'truma. So the Gemara assumed that it meant truma. Ask the Gemara, how could we say such an explanation when we just learned in our Mishnah a chrayim b'toich beis atzvita l'truma, that if one part of the keli became tameh, it doesn't affect the rest of the keli by tumah d'rabbanan, even as far as hilchas truma is concerned. Says the Gemara, Dilma, maybe he said what you meant when you said kachei gvul. He says what you meant was l'chulin shenasu al tayrus hakodesh. That means, as we spoke earlier in our shiurim, there were people, in order to not get confused, that they were makbid, that even the truma, even their chulin, they ate on the same level as kodesh. So he said, perhaps that's what you meant. So he said, Rav Nachman said to Rabibi, Atkart Gemilsi, now you reminded me something I heard from Rebbe. Domer Rabbi Baravur, Achras Remalis, we learned in our Mishnah 11 situations where Chazal were more makbid by Kodesh than by Chulan, by Truma Shanakan, Sheish Rishonis, and the group of the first six rules, Bein LeKodesh, applied by Kodesh, Bein LeChulan, Shanasu, Atarus, HaKodesh, and the Echroinis, the last five rules, are only said LeKodesh, Avloy, LeChulan, Shanasu, Atarus, HaKodesh. And this rule that we're learning now, that by kodesh, if one part of the keli becomes tamei, the entire keli becomes tamei, is in the first list in the Mishnah. So we clearly see that this is halacha that applies by chulin shanasa taras kodesh. So we learned in the Mishnah noises a medris nois as a truma, avloy as a kodesh. That if somebody's carrying something, it becomes tummy with tumas medrash, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem today in our shiur. Tumas medrash is a special tuma that the Torah gave to a zav or a zava, that anything that they sit on, stand on, that's meant for sitting or standing, if it comes tummy with tumas medrash, which is a very high level tuma. It's an ava tuma. Says the Kodesh my time aloy. Why is the halacha, if somebody is carrying Kodesh, he may not be carrying something which has a Tumas Medrash at the same time? Says the Gemara, Mishra Masa Shaya. Because the Gemara says there was a Maisa Shaya. Damar Rabbi Yudam Shmu. Maisa, Be'echot Shaya, Mavich Chavish Shaya in Kodesh. He was transporting wine that he wanted to use on the Mizbeach. Mimakam and Makam, he's transferring it from one place to another place. For Nifsaka Ritzusha Sandloy. And his shoe, the shoelace broke, the notla, and he took that shoe, the nicha ba'ichavis, and he put it on top of a klicheris. And as we said earlier in our shir, a klicheris only becomes tamei ma'aviroi if the tumah goes inside the keli. It doesn't become tamei if the tumah touches the outside of the keli. So he put his shoe on top of this klicheris, and then for nafal avir achavis, and then the shoe that was a tamei medrash made the entire klicheris tamei the nitmas, and therefore the kodesh, the wine that was intended to use for kachim, became tamei. Ba'is shah amru hanoisus a medrash. At that time, Chazal made a rule that if somebody is carrying something that has tumas medrash, noisus a truma, at the same time he may be carrying truma avaloyus a kodesh. Of course, the Rishonim asked the question. We know that anything that's broken does not give off tumah. So here we're speaking about a case where the shoe broke, the shoelace broke. So if the shoelace broke, the shoe is not a keli anymore. So why does it give off tumah? So Tysus, it answers that it wasn't broken in a way that it's not usable. It was torn that it couldn't be worn, but it wasn't broken to the degree that it cannot be usable, and that's why it still had the ability to give. It still had the ability to give off tumah. Ask the Gemara if that's the reason we made that this. There's a real chashash, and as I saw, the Siach Yitzchak explains the Gemara. Sometimes we find that Chazal had concerns, but there was no real history for the basis of that concern. And sometimes we see that Chazal have a concern that's based on something that actually happened. So if we see here that this is something that actually happened, why didn't we make this rule by Truma as well? Because so the Yushalmi gives a different teretz. He says that perhaps the reason they didn't make this rule by Truma is because who eats Truma? Kohanim. And we have a rule throughout Shas, Kohanim Zrizimheim. Whereas when we speak about Kodesh, Kodesh is not only eaten by Kohanim that has Zrizim. We know that the owners, as we spoke often, get a share of the Karbonis. And by regular people, we don't have the rule of Kohanim Zrizimheim. So the Yad David asks, why don't we say that teretz in our Gemara as well? So it says the Yadavid that in a case where it depends on the person, so when it depends on the person, so there we could say the Kahanim are people who are Zrizim. Here we're worried about something that could happen. Something that could happen, we don't have that teretz of Kahanim Zrizimheim. So ask the Gemara, if this is a real concern, why did Chazal only make this gezeira by Kodesh, not by Truma? Answers the Gemara, Hamani, because this Mishnah, our Mishnah is following an opinion of Rechananya ben Kavihi, Dama Lo'asru El B'yadin U'Besvino K'may Shishoyo. As we're going to see, what Rechananya ben Kavihi holds is that whenever Chazal make gezeira, they only make gezeira based, if it's based on something that happened, only in the exact same circumstances, which the Gemara is going to identify as when they felt the need to make the gzeira because of that. And if it's not the exact same circumstances, even though there is a reason and there's svara to make such a gzeira, Chazal didn't make such a gzeira. Says the Gemara, what is meant by this? Mahi, the Tanya, la yisa adam mechatis. We know that the water that's mixed with the ash of the mei of the parah aduma, the Torah calls it mechatis. Nobody is not allowed to carry that water, veifachatis, or the ash, veyavir and biyardin and besvina. You're not allowed to take them in a boat that's traveling over the Yarden. V'loim yam b'tzadzeh. Nor should somebody stand on one side of the river, the Israel came with Tzaracha and throw them to the other side of the river. Similarly, you shouldn't have them float on top of the water. Somebody shouldn't be riding on an animal that's walking through the water. Not on top of another person. You're sitting on top of another person who's walking through the water. Unless the person's feet are touching the ground. You're allowed to take them on trap of a bridge. And as I saw, the Meiri explains that even though a bridge to a degree looks like a boat or looks like something that's over water, but the bridge is really not considered in the water. The bridge is considered above the water. And says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Echad Yarden v'Echad Shar Naharus. This rule applies by Yarden or by other rivers. Even though the story that we're going to learn that caused Chazal to make this rule happened by the Yarden, the Chacham said that anything that's similar, if it's similar, it's enough. So of course, Taisus asked the question, so according to the Chachamim, the halacha ought to be that if somebody should not be carrying something with Tumas Medris and Truma, because according to the Chachamim, it's similar. So Taisus says, indeed, according to the Chachamim, that makes a lot of sense to say that they should have made such a gzeira, but the Chazal decided they didn't want to make that gzeira. So ask the Mashah, if that's the case, that Tosfos is saying a whole new pshat in our Gemara, that according to the Chachamim, it does make sense that the rule by Truma should be the rule by Kodesh, but Chazal did not want to expand the Hilchas Tuma to Hilchas to Truma as well. So why, asked the Mashah, did the Gemara feel the need to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Chananya ben Akavya? We could have said it's following the opinion of the Chachamim, and since it's following the opinion of the Chachamim, but Chazal didn't decide not to make the Gzeir by Truma. So, says the Mashah, that the Posh Pshat is not that there's a reason to differentiate between Kodesh and Truma. Yes, Tosfos said Chazal decided not to do so, but it's much easier to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Chananya ben Akavya, and therefore it makes sense, and therefore that's what the Gemara preferred to say. Where do we see Rav Chananya ben Akavya's opinion? He says Lo Yosra El B'Yardein. Chazal made this rule only with the Mechatas by the Yardein. They only made it besfina on a boat, ukemasa shahaya. And the story was, because that was the story that happened that propelled them to make the gzeira. Ask the Gemara, mahi, what was the story, my maisha shahaya, what was the maisha shahaya? Says the Gemara, the boy, damar of Yudam Rav, masa badam achat shayim avim mechatas v'evachatas b'yardin besfina. There was somebody who was transporting the mechatas and evachatas over the Yarden in a boat. And they found the kazayas of a mace in the floor of the boat, and therefore it became tamei. And by Oysa Shah, at that time they made a rule, and Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya says that we make the rule, we have to be completely similar to the circumstances of the rule. Actually, I saw that this halacha that our Gemara is saying that when Chazal make a rule, they make it that it should be similar to the original rule, is something that's relevant to Hilchas Pesach for Ashkenazim. The Rama in Ayur Chaim Simon Tuf Nun Gimel Sif Aleph Paskenaz says a minig be Ashkenaz, the minig of Ashkenazic Jews, is shloi la'echel minig kitnius be Pesach. We don't eat kitnius on Pesach. And there are two reasons. One reason is because ketnius can be ground into flour, and flour can be used to be made into bread, into real chametz. So just like we don't eat any of the five grains on Pesach, we shouldn't eat ketnius. And the other reason is because ketnius and grains would grow next to each other, and therefore there's a real concern that amongst the ketnius there may be grain, and therefore, as the Ramah says, Ashkenazic Jews don't eat ketnius on Pesach. So Chacham Tzvi discusses coffee beans. Is somebody allowed to drink coffee, ground coffee on Pesach? Why is that not considered in the category of ketnius? So he says that the minig was on ketnius that could be made into a dough, that you could have rice cakes or different types of beans that could be made into a flour. Coffee is never made into a flour. And he says that whenever Chazal, or wherever there's a minig, we follow exactly the way the minig was. And since the minig was only, as I explained, under the circumstances that ketnius were prohibited, that's the only circumstances that we could say the ketnius, that's the only place that ketnius is also. And that's why he says you could drink coffee. So I saw that there's a very famous dialogue, not a direct dialogue, but a dialogue in the Paiskim between the Divrei Chaim and the Chaya Adam. The Chaya Adam suggested that one should not be allowed to eat, one, people who don't eat ketnius on Pesach should not be allowed to eat potatoes on Pesach, because potatoes, as we could be also turned into a flour. We could, as we know, many people on Pesach use potato starch that looks like flour. So even though we never saw in Shulchan Aruch the Ramah saying not to eat potatoes, because they didn't have potatoes. But says the Chayadim, now that we have potatoes, one should avoid eating potatoes on Pesach. That's what the Chayadim said. Divrei Chaim says no. He says, it's the same concept of our Gemara. Since originally, when the rule of ketnius was established, potatoes were not included. And it could well be that if potatoes were available at that time, they would have been included. But the reality is they weren't included because there were no potatoes. So like our Gemara says, or Chananya ben Akavya says, that when you have a Gezeres Chazal, we follow the original rules, and therefore potatoes are not included. And it's known that the Divrei Chaim said, this name Chaya Adam means it gives life. He says, what is the food that many people rely on heavily on Pesach? On potatoes. So he says he finds it interesting that the Chaya Adam wanted to stop us from eating something which is the Chaya Adam, is what we survive on during Pesach. Along the same lines, there's a tshuva from the Klos Magen Rebbe, the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yatziv. The question was about cotton seed. May cotton seed, or people don't eat cotton seed, but a very popular oil that's used on Pesach is cotton seed oil. And the question was, are cotton seed in the category of ketnius? And there too, the Klos Magen Rebbe says that the whole din of ketnius, the whole rule of ketnius is only a minig, and we don't extend minhagim, and if cotton seed wasn't included in the original minig, then we're lenient. There's another reason to be lenient by cotton seed oil, besides for the explanation that we just quoted from the Klos Magen Rebbe, because there are poskim that suggest that even when ketnius is usur, the oil extracted from ketnius is not usur, and therefore that's another reason to be lenient with cotton seed oil. Ibailu continues the Gemara. Sandal tame. We learned that you're not allowed to carry a tame shoe when you're carrying kodesh. Sandal tahor. What would be the halacha by carrying a tardug shoe? Mahu. What would be the halacha? Will Chazal say that is also usur? The Chazanish explains that certainly we're not talking about wearing a shoe. The question is about carrying a shoe. Because as the Siach Yitzchak explains, even by a Tamei shoe, there's no issa to wear a Tamei shoe when you're carrying Kodesh. The question is about carrying a sandal tar. Another question. Chavas Psucha. You have an open barrel. That's where Chavas, that's where we have to be concerned that the shoe will fall in. But Chavas Tumah, but when the barrel is closed, Mahu, what's the din? And the third question. Avivanasa. If somebody carried a sandal tame while he was carrying an open barrel of Kodesh wine, but it didn't fall in, Mahu, will the Kodesh be tame or not? So it's interesting, the Rishayim already point out, our Mishnah has mentioned many dinim where we have Chumras by Kodesh as far as Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. We didn't find by the other rules that the Mishnah should ask, what's the halacha b'di'evit? Why all of a sudden here does the Gemara have this question? And the answer is simple. In the other cases, when the example that we spent so much time on, when you put one keli into another keli, so as we explained, there's a deficiency in that tefillah. And since there's a deficiency in that tefillah, that's why, even though there might not have been any deficiency in the particular tefillah that Yom did, Chazal were machmer. But in this case, where nothing happened, maybe they were makel. Ravila amam ava v'nosa tamei. If you violated what Chazal said, then Chazal said that this is tamei with no exception. Rav Zeira amam ava v'nosa. But if you violated, then tahar. Why? Is Rav Zeira say that opinion? Because Rav Zeira follows the rule that we have often in Shas, that Safek Drabanan Lekula, and therefore, since it's a Safek Drabanan Lekula, that's why we could be Makel. I saw the Chazon Ish gives a different explanation why we should be Makel. He says that the only reason Chazal made this rule is to prevent Kodesh from becoming Tamei. Once Chazal made the rule, that's enough that it should be that should prevent us from doing something wrong, and there's no reason to do any more than that. We learned in the Mishnah, Kalim and the Gemara and Batara, if a Kali was finished till the Kali is finished, so as we've explained many times, a Kali that's not finished being processed is not Mekabel Tumah. Here we have a Kali that was finished, and even though it was finished Batahara, the halacha is that before you could use it for Kodesh, you have to take it to the mikveh. But not for Truma. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara man, who is the person that finished processing this Keli? Elaim the Gemara Chavar, if we're going to say that it was finished by a person who's careful and Hechel's Tum and Tahara, so then the question is Lamli Tfila. Why would it require Tfila? The Chavar is careful to make sure that it didn't become Tameh. Ella, the Gemara Ma'aretz. So if the Ma'aretz was the one that was processing the Keli. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Nigmarin and B'tahara Karle, how can we can call that Nigmarin B'tahara? Because, as we learned in our previous year, we didn't trust the Tumma Tahara status of Amaratzim. So how can we call a Keli that was processed, that was finished by Amaratz, to be considered Nigmarin B'tahara? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Sheli Amar Masna, Amar Shmuel, Loilam the Gemarinu Chavar. The Chavar finished it, but we're still concerned, Mishum Tsunur Dama Aretz. We're concerned that while this Keli was in the hands of the Chavar, and Ama Aretz, who we always have to be concerned is a Zav, might have had some saliva come out of his body, and that saliva, we spoke about the Mashkin Shazav, and that's why we have to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, drilling down. The Nafal Amos, exactly when did this liquid hit the Keli? Elaim Mekam de Legamrinu, if we're going to say came on the Keli before the Keli was finished, Halab Manahu, as we said a moment ago, until the Keli is finished, it's not considered a Keli. And if it's not considered a Keli, it can't be Mekabel Tumah. El Abasa de Gemri, it must be after it was already finished. But if it was already after finished, the person who we said prepared this keli is a chaver. And a chaver certainly, Mrs. Abu, who was careful to make sure that it should not come in contact with the liquid of a zov, of an amaretz, answers the Gemara. Of what happened here was, loilam mikam d'gamri. It got hit by the zov's liquid, but amaretz's liquid, before it was completed. However, Dilma, what the concern was, Behe'itne de Gamri, as it was completed, adayin lachahi. It was still wet, and since now it's finished, the halacha is that it's matama de keli, and that's why the halacha is the kodesh we were machmer. The Torah Kedosha, when it speaks about the processing of the Parah Aduma, the halacha is that what they used to do was they would mitama the kohen who processed the Parah Aduma, and not only that kohen, the kohen who burnt the ash of the Parah Aduma, but everybody who was involved in the procedure of the Parah Aduma, and they specifically would require that the people should become tamei, go to the mikveh. But we know that the halacha always is that if somebody's tamei and he goes to the mikveh, his tahara is not complete until he has harav shemesh, until the day is over. However, by the parah aduma, as we're going to learn, the Torah teaches us that even a person who's a tful yoyim, and the definition of a tful yoyim is a person who went to the mikveh but did not yet have harav shemesh, is allowed to do the procedure of the parah aduma. The tzedakim disagreed, because as we know, the tzedakim take the Torah shebiksav literal, and the pasuk says v'hi'z atar atamei b'yoyim hashlishi b'yoyim hashvi'i. So the word tar that's mentioned in this pasuk is superfluous, because the pasuk right before already said v'lokach eiz v'tavah b'mayim ish tar v'hi'za. So why does the Torah have to repeat again that the person who does it is tahar? To teach us a special rule by Parah Aduma. And that is that even a person who is had only hair of shemesh is qualified to do the avodah of Parah Aduma, and they were careful to specifically use that type of person to prove that we don't agree with the tzedakim. And we find here a very interesting phenomenon. Here, the tzedakim are being more machmer than us. So one would take the assumption that if they're being more machmer than us, so let us follow their chumrah. The halacha here is teaching us that we don't do that. We don't want to agree with the tzedakim, not only in the situations where they're more lenient and what we believe, because we have all the derabbanans that they did not believe in. But even in the derises, even in the chumras, which they are derises we don't follow. And this is most noticeable by the halacha of eating warm food on Shabbos. The halacha is that the pasuk says, "Lo sevaru esh b'chomesh v'seichem b'yom haShabbos." We understand that pasuk to mean that on Shabbos, of course, one may not ignite a fire. But it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have a fire on in your home. The tzedakim, as we just said, took that pasuk literally. And they said that l'svara esh b'chomesh v'seichem b'yom haShabbos means that you're not allowed to have anything hot on Shabbos in your home. And that's where the minhag comes, that we specifically eat cholent, which is a hot food on Shabbos, because we want to show that we don't agree with the tzedakim. And in fact, the Ramah, in Ohr HaChaim Siman Resh Nun Zayin Sif Ches, says mitzvah lahatam el Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to put away warm food for Shabbos. Kadesh yoichel cham b'Shabbos, in order that we eat hot food on Shabbos. Kizem mekvoid v'oinig Shabbos. That's the way we show honor and oinig on Shabbos. And moreover, says the Ramah, the kol mi she'ein eman medivrei chachamim, somebody who doesn't agree, v'oiser achilas chamin b'Shabbos, and says that you're not allowed to eat warm wood for Shabbos, chashinen shema apikoresu. And in fact, I saw that this is the basis for the minig that in Ashkenazic shuls, the Davin Nusach Ashkenaz, they say perig b'mer medlikim on Friday night by davening. Why did they choose to say that perik? Because according to tzedakim, you could not have candles burning in your home Friday night. Because the candles burning in your home Friday night, again, is a violation of their interpretation of the pasuk of lo sevaru esh b'chomesh v'seichem b'yom haShabbos. So every Friday night, they would say the perik b'mer medlikim to show that we don't agree with the tzedakim. And in fact, I saw that in the Gniza, there's a girsa, there's a version that before they said Perek Mamamad Likim, they would say a bracha. They would say, Baruch Ata Hashem al Kirim al Cha'olam, Asher Bocha B'Chachomim U'B'Talmideyem, V'Noslam Torah Mahar Sinai, Aydei Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Tziva Aysom Likra B'Torah B'Mishnah B'Talm B'Alocha. We received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're supposed to learn the Mishnah and the Talmud, Liknas Chai Shnei Olamim, that's how we get Olam Hazan, Olam Haba. Bocha B'Moshe Rabbeinu Mikol HaNeviim, V'Acher Bocha B'Yishua Talmidav, V'Shivim Zakenim, V'Neviim V'Chachomim Talmideyem, V'Tziva Aysom Shmir Shabbos B'Adlokas Nesh Shabbos. And they're the ones that told us, of course, that we have to be Shomer Shabbos, and they're also the ones that told us what is and what is not included in Shmir Shabbos, and they told us that we may and should have candles lit in our homes on Shabbos, and that's why we make this bracha, to show that we don't agree with tzedakim, even though, as I said, the tzedakim are machmirim and we are machmilim. So we learned just now that our Mishnah said that kelim that were completed with tahara still for kodesh have to have tefillah before they can be used. Says the Gemara, tefillah in. From here we see that all they require is to have tefillah, harav shemesh loy. They don't require to have harav shemesh. Says the Gemara, Masnisan, and as Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Elchanan, the reason the Gemara assumes that is because the Mishnah only said tefillah. If the Mishnah wanted us to, the halacha is that you have to have harav tshuva, harav shemesh also, then the Mishnah should have said it. And since it didn't say it, it's clearly an indication that only tefillah is required, not harav shemesh. Masnisan, says the Gemara, our Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazar. Isn't follow opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us some sechta par sheferis. You have a straw, you have shechot lechatis that was cut in half to be used as a tube for the ash of the paraduma. Rebbe Elazar meyitl meyad. Rebbe Elazar says we should take it to the mikveh immediately, because since it came in contact with the Torah Aduma, and we're learning that anything that comes in contact with the Torah Aduma becomes Tamei. So the halacha is, it becomes Tamei. We put it into the mikveh and use it that day, because as we're learning, we don't wait for Harav Shemesh. Rav Shuamar Yitama, we should make it Tamei. The way we make it Tamei is have it come in contact with a Sheretz, Vakach Yitbo, and then put it into mikveh and use it immediately for Eifachatis. Vavinimbo, and in understanding that Mishnah Masech Deparo, the Chat Konman, exactly who was the one that cut this tube? It was cut by a chaver. Lamali Tfila. Where did it become Tamei? Ela the Chat Chamaoritz. It was cut by an Amaoritz. Says the Gemara, Meholem Yeshua, Shi Tamei V'Yitbo. So why would Yeshua tell us that we should go deliberately and make it Tamei? It's already Tamei because the Amaoritz processed it. Ha Tamei V'Koi. It's talking about a chaver cut it. So if that's the case, what's the chash? Mishum the tsunu dama oritz. And the machloikis of the Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer is, do we have to be concerned that it became tamei by the amoritz's saliva or liquid from his body coming in contact with it? Ask the Gemara, as we spoke about earlier, the Nafla Amos. When would have that liquid from the Amoritz body come on contact with the Tzenoira? It will say before it was cut. So before it was cut, halav manahu. It's not a usable keli. If it's not a usable keli, it's not makabel tumah. El abasa dechatcha. So ask the Gemara, certainly the chaver who's preparing this keli for the Parah Aduma Ash, Mrs. Zaharba is going to be careful not to let it become Tamei. Says the Gemara, as we said earlier, the liquid from the Amoritz touched it before it was processed. But we're concerned, Dilma Ba'adna Dechatcha, while it's being cut, there's still a Dain Lacha, there's still moist liquid on this keli. So says the Gemara, Bishlama, our Mishnah that says that if a keli was nigma b'tahara, it requires tefillah, going according to Yeshua. According to Yeshua, we have to make the keli tamei with a sheretz. And like that, it really became tamei. And the tzedakim will not allow us to use such a keli, because they're going to say we need to have Harav Shemesh, and we, who want to show that we don't agree with the tzedakim, will use the keli. The Tanan, as we've been discussing, the time Mahayas Koina and Sarif Sapara, they would deliberately make the Koin who processed the Parah Aduma Tame, they have him touch the Sheretz and go to the mikvah and then do the Avoida, not wait for Harav Shemesh. The dates that we have to wait till there's Harav Shemesh. El Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, that they made it Tame. If we're going to say normally when a keli is finished by a chaver, but we have the concern that it came in contact with the liquid from our ma'aretz, and that's why we have to take it to the mikvah. And that's not only do we have to take it to the mikvah, we also have to have Harav Shemesh. So now we could understand why that keli could be the keli that we will use by Parah Aduma, because they're going to be a keli l'tzedakim. That the tzedakim would say we'd have to wait for Harav Shemesh, and we're saying we don't have to wait. Early Amr Amaloi being Harav Shemesh, that we never need Harav Shemesh. So according to Belezer, my hakera tzedakim ikah. Where is the heker? We never need Harav Shemesh by this type of tumah. So where will we be showing that we don't agree with the tzedakim? Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Shasoka Tamei Sheretz. The Chumim treated this keli like it became Tame with a Harav Shemesh, and since they treated it that way, that's why we understand where we have a heker, that even though it's treated that way, we don't wait for Harav Shemesh, but we use it immediately. Elamei Ato asked the Gemara that if that's the case, that a keli that's enough, let the Tama Adam, a person shouldn't have to become Tame. The same, just like a keli is not considered avatoma, it's a rishon tuma. The shiferis is a rishon tuma, and it should not have the ability to give off tuma to the person, because a person cannot become tame from a rishon tuma. Alom etanya, why is the alocha chotcha matbila taunt fila? The person has to go to the mikvah. But a person can't become tummy from this type of a keli, that like something that came tummy from a sheretz. Because something that became tummy from a sheretz is a rishon l'tumah. And a rishon l'tumah cannot make a person tummy. Ella, says the Gemara, we have to say that it's treated like a tummy mace. And a tummy mace, like somebody came in contact with a tummy mace, somebody who became in contact with a mace is an avatumah. So as the Gemara, if that's the case, that it's in that category, so why is it enough to take it to the mikvah and say, I'll take it to the mikvah, won't do Harav Shemesh, and that's how I'm showing that I don't agree with the tzedakim. But if it's considered a tummy, if it's considered according to the halacha, like a tummy mace requires a zohar shlishi v'shvi. Alom etanya, choytcha matbila, tarn tefila, you take it to the mikvah, tefila in. All it requires is tefillah, azar shlish v'shvi loy. But if we're considering it like a tamei mace, the halacha ought to be, and that's why it's matama, the person that comes in contact with it, it should require azar shlish v'shvi. Ella, says the Gemara, Chazal created a new category. Says the Gemara, they created a category of a tamei mace b'yom shvi shloy. What is the halacha on a tamei mace? That on the seventh day, he's an avatama, but you sprinkle on him the Eifapara, and at that point, he only requires tefillah and Harav Shemesh. And we're learning that this individual is in that category. Ask the Gemara, but this is a new category of somebody being considered tamei on the seventh day of the Shlish Vishvi Azor. And ask the Gemara, Tanya, haven't we learned in a brisa? Ma'olam lechitchu dava b'para. Chazal did not create new categories of tuma. Amar Baya says the Gemara that loyamru kardim metame moishev. When Chazal said that we didn't create a new type of tuma, as we said earlier in the shir, the Torah says ketanya. The Torah says regarding something that the zov sits on or stands on. That's a tumas mishkev and moishev. The Torah says, "Vayoshev el kli asher yeshev alav azov yichabes begadav rochtz v'mayim v'tamei ad arav." The seat, the bed, the chair that the zav sits on becomes an avatuma. Yochel we would think kafa saw. If somebody turned over a basket, the yoshavala, takiv, we turned over a different type of a barrel, the yoshavala yei tamei, tamaloimer. The pasuk says by yoshavala kliya sheyeshavala v'azov. Teaches us the brisa. Mishim yuchad l'shiva. Only a vessel that's meant for sitting gets tumas moishiv. Yotzeh. This comes to exclude when we have a vessel which is a barrel which is meant to store items. So only that's what the brisa means to say, that if a keli is not meant for sitting, we can't make it have a tumas moishiv. But if you have a type of a tumma that exists in the world, there is certainly a concept of tumma on the seventh day when the person became a tumma meis, that on that day we're going to do the hazor. That is something that exists in the realm of halacha. Since that's something that exists in the realm of halacha, the halacha is that we could apply that type of tumma to different situations as Chazal see fit.